I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. For a lot of years, Wisconsin was a solidly blue state in presidential elections, but the state went to Republican Donald Trump during the 2016 election, leaving a lot of political watchers wondering what happened here. Our next guest has been visiting different parts of Wisconsin and talking to voters to get their take on the election and what's happened since then over the last year or so. In his latest installment, he went to southern and southeastern Wisconsin, the district of Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan. Craig Gilbert is a political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you.
Well, talk about Paul Ryan's district and the makeup of the district and how people vote there.
Yeah, I mean, so my first reporting trip as part of this project was to southwestern Wisconsin, which is really swingy and really not very partisan. Southeastern Wisconsin is more polarized. You've got kind of some Democratic cities in Paul Ryan's district, Kenosha, Janesville, and Racine, and then you've got some purple towns, and then you've got a lot of red suburban and rural turf. And so people are not only polarized there, but they're probably more polarized than they've ever been over Paul Ryan, which makes sense when you think about the fact that he's taken on much more of a national role. I mean, he was the vice presidential candidate in 2012, and now he's a speaker, and not just the speaker in a Republican Congress, but under a Republican president who's like the ultimate lightning rod. So his relationship with Trump has evolved from being somewhat more contentious during the campaign to being a lot more supportive since the Trump presidency began. And that has affected the way various, you know, voters of all stripes think about him. I mean, the people that don't like Trump are a lot more negative on Paul Ryan than they used to be. People that do like Trump are in general happier that Ryan has been largely supportive of Trump, although some of them are still suspicious. I mean, they sort of understand that Ryan's a different kind of Republican than Trump, and some of them aren't sure Ryan is quite as supportive as they would like him to be.
And it's interesting, you write that pre-Trump, Democrats and independents in the district, even if they weren't necessarily Paul Ryan voters, they had often positive things to say about him.
Not only that, but he, you know, he had a history of winning even the most Democratic parts of his district. Racine is the most Democratic community in Paul Ryan's district. Now, I think he has only won Racine, the city of Racine, a handful of times, but he'd won his hometown of Janesville many times, and he'd won the city of Kenosha many times. That's really, really unlikely to happen this time around because Democrats are hardening against him. Even some moderates and independents who don't like Donald Trump are unhappy that Paul Ryan has been as supportive as he has been. I mean, one thing that really struck me about talking to voters in his district is that people have a really keen appreciation of, like, the political complexities of Paul Ryan's position as speaker. They kind of get the fact that there's this tension between him and Trump, and they get the fact that there are political reasons why Ryan is, you know, basically allied with Trump now. They get the fact that being speaker is kind of a, you know, terrible job in some ways. And the difference is that some of them kind of feel Paul Ryan's pain and some of them don't. Some of them just feel like this is not the guy that I remember him being. They're kind of appalled that he is not, quote, standing up to Donald Trump.
Yeah, and as you were talking to voters, even when you were trying to talk about Paul Ryan, in some cases it sounds like the conversation went at lightning speed to Donald Trump.
Yeah, which is interesting because Paul Ryan is a very, very well-known figure. So, you know, a lot of the drama here in his race is, you know, he has had this history of kind of transcending some of these partisan divisions. You know, he's done perfectly well even in big Democratic years, either because he hasn't had serious opposition or just because of that kind of likability. You know, for a lot of Democrats, he's more likable than the average Republican. Now, that's what's really disappearing. It doesn't mean he's going to lose his race, and it doesn't even necessarily mean the race is going to be super close. It just means that it's going to reduce his cushion, and because he's, you know, because everything is sort of subsumed, not everything, but things are kind of subsumed by Trump, more people see him through the filter of Donald Trump and his relationship with Donald Trump. And I had one kind of funny experience at a bar in Burlington where I started to interview some guys who were hanging out together eating burgers, And when I asked them about Paul Ryan, they just went right to Trump and right to Obama. And then I asked them about Ryan again and right back to Trump and Obama. And it got really heated and really adversarial. And I kind of like felt like I had ruined their lunch just by bringing up politics. But it was, you know, I couldn't get them to talk about Ryan. They wanted to talk about Trump, and that is like, you know, that's a kind of a radioactive subject for a lot of people.
Talking to Craig Gilbert, political reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is journeying around the state talking to voters in different areas about politics in the year since the 2016 election. Craig, when we talked to you about your visit to Southwestern and Western Wisconsin, there was a pretty consistent, it seemed like, anti-establishment feeling across the political spectrum in many ways. Did you get that feeling in Paul Ryan's district?
Well, not quite to the same degree. I think Southwestern Wisconsin is pretty distinctive in that way. Southeastern Wisconsin is not only more polarized, but it's also just more partisan. I mean, there are some purple communities and there are some purple voters, but it's, you know, people are, if you look at like even Racine and Kenosha counties, which are at the county level, they're kind of the most purple parts of his district, but they're very divided internally. I mean, everything along the lake is more Democratic, and then as you get west of the highway, it just becomes a lot more Republican. So you've got these Democratic cities, and then you've got a few kind of battleground towns that are kind of closer to the lake, including southern Milwaukee County, places like Oak Creek. But then you've got Waukesha County, which is more of that, you know, conservative Republican suburb, and then you've got some more rural areas. And what's one of the things that's interesting about the Ryan District is that if you think of the Republican Party as being divided in some ways between kind of like the Ryan style of Republican and the Trump style of Republican, some parts of his district are clearly more in keeping with Ryan and some are more in keeping with Trump. And so there are places where Trump, for example, dramatically outperformed Mitt Romney, who's more of a, you know, he was on the ticket with Ryan, he's more of a Ryan Republican. And then there are other places, Republican areas, where Trump underperformed compared to Mitt Romney, like including the places near, you know, in Milwaukee County and Waukesha County.
We had in the last election a Republican primary effort against Paul Ryan, and you had national figures like Sarah Palin pulling for the primary opponent, saying they're going to canter, like Eric Cantor got beaten in a primary. Paul Ryan wasn't even close. Paul Ryan won it hands down, no problem. So does that mean there's not enough of a Trump vote there, or at least they don't perceive it as a Trump-Ryan rivalry enough to have that challenge?
I think what's changed is that Paul Ryan has been largely supportive. He hasn't, you know, he did not want to define himself during the Trump presidency as a critic of Trump, and he hasn't. And so there may be some, you know, clearly there's some, you know, hardcore, maybe pro-Steve Bannon and Breitbart, you know, conservatives out there that just have no use for Paul Ryan. But most of the pro-Trump Republicans are, you know, going to support and vote for Paul Ryan, and partly because they're Republicans or conservatives, and partly because they are satisfied that Ryan has become more of an ally of Trump, and they don't see Ryan out there carping at Trump. Now, that could change if there's something that prompts more of a confrontation between Ryan and Trump, as happened during the campaign. I don't think that's necessarily likely. They could have a confrontation over the special counsel's investigation. Paul Ryan has been really supportive of keeping Bob Mueller in place. So there are things that could happen. But I think even though there's some grumbling among conservatives and Republicans about Ryan, it's hard to see it being a huge problem for him. I think the question is going to be more turnout, and is there anything that can depress Republican turnout, either because people are just anti-Congress or demoralized on one level or another, or you know, Trump's unpopularity drags down Republican turnout a little, and if Democrats get a big turnout advantage, that could really tighten the picture for Ryan.
And I wanted to get into the Democratic side of things. Democrats hoping for a wave election next year, a reaction to Trump. They're looking at the state elections in Virginia not too long ago. Do you get a sense that Democrats in Ryan's district are feeling that kind of energy?
Well, I think it's too soon to tell. I mean, I think some of them are exercised in the sense that, you know, they're kind of mad, and they are, you know, I think that that can mobilize them. You know, one of the things that's probably, so that's, I think, working in the favor of Democrats. I mean, there is the ingredients could be there for certainly the kind of election that could lead to Ryan losing his speakership, because if he loses their Republican majority, he won't be speaker anymore. He could still potentially survive that kind of election just because, you know, of his history in the district, because it's a Republican-leaning district. And the other thing that probably works in the, that could work in his favor, and this is a big if, is, you know, Governor Walker's on the ballot. He's got a history of turning out the Republican base, particularly in southeastern Wisconsin. So I think there's hope on the Republican side that even if the national climate turns out to be really terrible for them, that they could still, the kind of Republican, that Republican vote machine in the state, particularly in southeastern Wisconsin, could still kick into gear and kind of mitigate some of that, you know, if it is a poor national climate for Republicans.
And then there's the way district lines are drawn, where we have a handful of Republican safe seats, a few Democratic safe seats. It would take a lot, it seems like, to bump some of these districts one way or the other.
Yeah, and it, in fact, you know, when you get into a situation where people are really polarized by party and there's not as much ticket splitting or crossover voting, then, you know, it doesn't, you know, a district doesn't have to be a 20-point advantage to one party to be a safe district. Even a 5 or 10-point advantage, that's a really difficult margin to overcome if everybody's just voting along party lines. So that, again, it's one thing to get that, to close that last 5 or 10-point gap given the makeup of the district is the hardest ground to make up in a district like Paul Ryan's district, which has become, again, it's not a lopsidedly Republican district, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it is more Republican than it was a couple of redistricting plans ago. I mean, it used to be that Paul Ryan's district, for example, included the city of Beloit, which is a very Democratic city, and in one of those maneuvers that you know, redistrict that happens in redistricting, you know, after the 2000 census, it was pushed into what was then Tammy Baldwin's Madison district, and it made her district better for her as a Democrat, and it made Paul Ryan's district better for him as a Republican.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, anytime.
That's Craig Gilbert, political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's writing an ongoing series on political changes in Wisconsin after the 2016 election. Coming up, the Supreme Court gave the green light to President Trump's travel ban for now, so the order is going into full effect while it works its way through lower courts. We'll get the details and find out what challenges remain.